This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
This is New London. Everyone's happy here.
Everyone has a place. There's no hunger, no violence.
There's no pain there, John. Everyone fits. I've always wanted that for you.
This is your home now. You just need to embrace this place and let it be wonderful.
Hey.
All you have to do is connect.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Joining me, as always, Sharmila Ganesan and Arvind Yuvaraj. And today is our review segment, and we have something that happens on a seasonal basis, really. Our friends over at Astro have some shows that are kind of interesting and vary, I think, from 2019 to last year. And there are some new series, including Saved by the Bell, The Act, I Hate Susie, and Brave New World, which is what we're going to focus on today.
So I would have pipped for Saved by the Bell as well, because I was such a huge fan of the TV show. But I was very excited for Brave New World because I'm a huge, huge fan of the novel by Aldous Huxley. It's sort of held up there, I think, together with 1984 as almost one of the definitive dystopian novels, right? And so a TV series set in that world, particularly within the context of 2020, I thought would be very interesting. There are some things that the TV show does reasonably well, but I think the less you try and compare it to the book, the better you'll probably like the show. And because I'm such a huge fan of the book, I think that might be where it let me down a little bit.
I'm very conflicted about the show because it wasn't on my watch list at all, on my radar. Not something that I would have picked, but I think I watched the first couple of episodes with that mindset, so I didn't really like it at first. But then I found that the show kind of grows on you. It grew on me. And I don't know how to feel about that because it has all the tropes that you would get from like a sci-fi dystopia or utopia. And we've seen this like a million times in a million different shows and movies, right? But maybe that's why I like it. I don't know. It makes me feel a bit like cozy and it reminds me of shows from like 2004, 2005. It's with a 2021 sort of glossy finish. Conflicted.
So that's one of the kind of the best and the worst, right, of Brave New World is that it does the job of feeling really familiar, especially if you've seen a fair amount of dystopian future stuff. Yeah, and I think that it's like you, exactly like what you said, Arvind, it's a double-edged sword because on the one hand, it feels like you're slipping into something that you know. On the other hand, the story is attempting to be quite bold. The story itself is really, if you go back to the novel, really very forward-thinking and very dark. And so the show maybe doesn't push it in all the directions that it should go in. So just to say, Brave New World takes place in New London, right? So it takes place in the future in which essentially everybody is engineered from birth to either be an alpha, a beta, so on and so forth. And then that determines your place in society. And because everything is so engineered, essentially childbirth is no longer really a thing. People are just created. And everyone in New London lives a supposedly happy life, free of all forms of commitment to family. They're not monogamous. They can really do anything they want, except within this very, very strict social strata. And that's where we find our characters, Bernard and Lenina, right at the start.
And I think one important aspect of it is that they're all conditioned from young to partake in these basically medication or drugs called soma, which kind of regulates your emotions, right? So you don't feel pain or sadness
or much.
Anger or much, really. Yeah. It kind of keeps you on an emotional middle ground. And that's the premise on which the society is built. And I think, you know, Arvind, you said tropes and Lynn, you mentioned this as well. I wish they had picked a couple of things that were really powerful and focused on that. Instead, it feels like the show wants to be everything from Westworld to The Matrix to two parts of Brave New World to Gattaca, you know, X number of science fiction movies about the future that you wanted to pick. They try and do almost all of it. And I think that's part of the problem, because in its essence, Brave New World has a really strong storyline. And some of that comes through really well, especially in the early parts of the series when they're sort of setting up the... So there's New London, and then there's the part of the world where people live, quote unquote, normally, right?
Savage without lands.
The savage lands. Mm. And so that contrast between that is actually really interesting. And those are the parts in which I enjoyed it the most, in that you're sort of able to see the difference and how one set of people fit into the other. I wish there was more of that, because it, you know, it's 9 episodes. It feels like they race through things so fast that you don't get to sit with any of these concepts for too long.
Mm, and I love that switch. I love that switch between the new world, quote unquote, and the savage lands, just like you, because I love how they sort of use familiar music to create a sense of like warmth and coziness and that human touch, right? And the first time they switch, they literally show you someone who's like washing their grimy looking car. And it's very abrupt. Like you see like clean and pristine and everything's white, and it goes to like trashy, common human mess of a place. And I don't know why I like that. And it's very weird how the show is able to get you to feel discomfort in the perfect and the pristine. And it gets you to feel cozy and at home in this sort of dystopian hellscape, which is the savage lands. Like you shouldn't want to live there, but because the people there are more human, you're like, okay, I'm at ease here. And I don't like being in the new world because it looks stressful, even though it's supposed to have the opposite effect. But that perfection...
Well, you're not on Soma, so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. So even though it's supposed to be anything but, you feel very stressful in the new world and feel very good when they're in the savage lands, which is a weird thing, which is something I like.
So I think I just wanted to quickly bring up the cast, because it has Jessica Brown Findlay, it has Harry Lloyd, it has Alden Ehrenreich. And I think that these are, broadly speaking, good performers. We've seen them in other things. We know that they can perform. But the Soma quality of the show essentially means that they don't actually get to do much, because most of the time they are operating in a very flattened emotional scape. So everybody is, there's all this stuff that goes unsaid about, oh, maybe I wish that I wasn't like this, or maybe my status isn't exactly what it should be, or, you know, there are all these various things, but it takes a while to get there because everybody is just sort of smiling and politely going, indeed, have a Soma, you know, and just sort of popping pills left and right. And I think that that flatness, when you're going to do that kind of affect for a performance, you need to be invested in the story enough to see it out, to bear it out. And so I think sometimes the show tests your patience a little bit, because you're like, actually, I don't know if I care enough to want to spend so much time with these people.
Alden Ehrenreich has no excuse, because he's not on Soma for the first... His character's not. And he's one of those actors I'm really disappointed by in this series, because everything else I've seen him in, even if I didn't love the film, I always thought he had this like sparkle in his personality. I loved him in Hail Caesar. I actually really thought he was a good Han Solo, just that the film wasn't that great. But in this one, he feels so sort of... He's not a great lead. He's so flat, and therefore it's very difficult to kind of hook on to anything. We did mention Demi Moore. I actually really liked her. I thought she was one of the few characters that kind of had life and emotions. And I enjoyed her performance. I wish there was more of it. Harry Lloyd, I thought, did a really good job, though. I thought he was very good in that care, in that role of someone who benefits so much from that system, kind of just sits at the apex of it, but also is struggling with what that means. I wanted much more from the performances.
So this is like super interesting because I liked everyone in the Savage Lambs. I thought they did a very good job. And I don't like anyone in the New World. And it's not an acting thing. It's not a performance thing. I felt that they were cold and isolated that was beyond the script. You know, it was to a point where they became boring. But everyone in the Savage Land, I thought they did pretty well. And I got like, I was kind of hooked and I was invested and I wanted to know what they would do next and where they would go. So I honestly have nothing to say much about the acting. I thought the people who are supposed to do a good job did a really, really good job.
Can I say as a sidebar, was anybody else distracted by Harry Lloyd being there? I say this because I think the last time I saw him on my television was as Viserys Targaryen. And so I was just really thoroughly thrown off by, wait, I'm supposed to like you now? Hold on, give me a second. So yes, I'm sorry.
So, you know, I forgot that I saw him as Viserys, and that maybe is a credit to how well he does in this, that he actually does make the role quite his own.
Mm. It helps that his hair is dark.
I completely, definitely. Yes, it does.
We're talking today about Brave New World, which was a 2020 TV series adapted from the novel of the same name. And it, along with Saved by the Bell, The Act, and I Hate Susie, are all exclusively on the store on demand. You can rent now via your Astro Ultra Box or Astro Go app. Coming up, we continue talking about Brave New World, and we'll also touch on some of these other series in just a little bit of detail. If you've seen Brave New World, if you like dystopian or sci-fi adaptations and have some favorites and you want to share, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Everyone belongs to everyone else.
You're never alone here. Everyone's connected.
You know, I've been watching you people, but this place is so perfect. Why is it upside down?
There is a disruption.
I just can't seem to get back to myself.
A virus enters a cell, turning the body against itself.
We need to stop this before this goes too far.
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And together we are talking about some series actually that are available to watch on Astro. This includes Saved by the Bell, The Act and I Hate Susie, and also the show that we're focusing on for today, which is Brave New World. And I wanted to talk a little bit about set design. So we've been talking about New London and the Savage Lands. And the thing is, about any sort of good future dystopian world worth its salt, it has to look convincing. And the Savage Lands are essentially us, right? Like if we didn't elevate ourselves. And it includes a sort of theme park, I guess, that New Londoners go to visit to get their kicks, basically to watch us savages struggle along with our monogamy. And I think, how did we feel about the set design? I think, Arvin, you actually spoke quite a bit about this earlier.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought that, again, the set design, I felt in the Savage Lands looked way better than New London. Because the stuff in New London is the stuff that we've seen like over and over again. We've seen in like many, many movies, the whiteness, the pristineness, you know, how clean it is. So nothing new there. But I thought the griminess and the dirtiness of the Savage Lands really came across without looking like a set or without looking like something that was made on a computer or CGI. So in that terms, yes. But I don't know if you can add music to set design or art direction, but the music really worked for me. And that sort of like juxtaposition of the things they choose to play in the Savage Land versus what they choose to play in New London, that synthiness was really nice in a sense that it makes you feel like you're in the best shopping mall in the world when you're actually supposed to want to get out. Like, it's not natural at all.
I must say that, again, much like what we were talking about earlier, the design of New London looked like a mishmash of every other future set film or TV show. And that, for me, was a problem. Nothing looked distinctive. You know, it didn't look like anyone had given a lot of thought into what this world would look like. What I did like, and this is weird because I don't know whether people pay this much attention to something like this, I really like the costume design. I liked how people dressed in New London because also, you know, those levels that they live in, the betas, the alphas, the epsilons, I really like how their costume design reflects which station in life they're from. It doesn't look so futuristic that everyone's in plastic and neon, but they use a lot of these like cool, icy colors, a lot of sort of semi-shiny fabrics. And I'm not sure whether it was because the set otherwise didn't look like it was anywhere, but the costumes for me felt like a sort of very subtle way of emphasizing the stories in this world.
Yeah, I was going to say that I think once again, this speaks to a potential issue with characterization. So the show wants you to understand right away that Bernard is an alpha who doesn't look
alpha
like...
Alpha plus, sorry.
who doesn't look like any of the other alphas, never mind the plus. You know, and then you have Lenina, who is a beta plus. Again, very proud of the plus. And so I think you are supposed to understand that Bernard has that sort of internal struggle, that Lenina is sort of also starting to have some dissatisfaction with New London, not necessarily even to do with being a beta, just to do with the state of affairs. And sometimes, because so much of it happens in this very British way of like staring at each other, I think that the clothes and the set design needs to do quite a lot to help to build those characters. And when they leave New London, I think that's actually when that set design really shines. Not even because the Savage Lands looks like a Westworld part deux, but because when you see the New Londoners in a place that is outside their city, the stark difference in their characters kind of grow.
I think there's also these, because they only have so few episodes to play with, so many of the world building elements are missing. There's one really great scene early on where Lenina and Bernard are in a shuttle and they come across a boy, a child who's an alpha. And he kind of tells Lenina, an adult, to kind of, oh, move, I want this seat. And that weird power dynamic of what that means, that here's a world where everyone's supposedly happy, but a child can tell an adult woman to vacate her seat because he's an alpha. I wanted more interactions like that. I wanted to know what it means to live normally in a society like this. And the show just doesn't have enough space or room or doesn't bother to create those moments. And I think that's why every time there's a sudden shift, it's actually the most exciting thing that happens in the show.
Mm. And also for a community of people who are on these somas, they're very stressed up. You know, it doesn't look like these drugs are working well for them. Like they are constantly in denial or doubt, or they are, you know, in constant sort of like in some kind of conflict, which I'm like, guys, you know, you need to figure out like which side of the fence you're on. Like either you're happy or you're not. But have you guys seen this show called Colony?
No, I haven't seen Colony.
No.
Mm. So it's some of the crew from Lost. They sort of spin off, and then Josh Holloway is in it, and they made a show called Colony. Three seasons got cancelled. Brave New World reminds me of Colony a lot because I didn't love Colony, but I loved watching Colony. It's like the perfect weeknight after work over dinner sort of show, because if you don't want to invest too much and you just want to watch something to get over with, that's the show. And I think Brave New World is that for me. You know, if I don't want to think about it too much and I just need like 45 minutes to eat something and keep me entertained, that's the kind of show. And also Colony came out, I think, in like late 2000. So it has very much that vibe.
So we've been talking today about Brave New World, which is the adaptation of the Aldous Huxley novel. If you've watched it or if you enjoy sci-fi dystopian kind of adaptations or movies or shows, let us know what they are. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. And we've been discussing this because it's one of the series that's available on Astro, alongside actually some other interesting ones that came out in the last couple of years. So there's The Act, which tells the story of Gypsy Rose and Dee Dee Blanchard. And I think if you remember the article from BuzzFeed, which is something like, Dee Dee wanted to save her daughter, Gypsy wanted her mother dead. That pretty much sets up what you need to know about The Act. And then you've got Saved by the Bell, the reboot. You have I Hate Susie, which stars Billy Piper, of all people. What I find interesting about these shows actually is the variety of networks that they're from, because we don't necessarily get Hulu, nor do we get Sky Atlantic, which is where I Hate Susie is on. So if any of these strike your fancy, you can actually catch Saved by the Bell, The Act, Brave New World, I Hate Susie exclusively on the store on demand. You can rent now via your Astro Ultra Box or Astro Go app. If you, again, would like to share any thoughts, you can WhatsApp us, tweet us, or write to us at movies@bfm.my. This is Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.